Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Ray McGovern joins us in the first 2 hours of the show. Hesham Talawi then to follow. Ray McGovern is a member of the Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. He at one time was in the Central Intelligence Agency for almost 30 years and was involved in the National Intelligence Estimates preparations for the President of the United States. You can read the Ray McGovern archive at antiwar.com. A number of things that we're going to be talking about with Ray today, including his most recent piece for Alternet on a possible preemptive war with Iran. We're going to be speaking with him about what he perceives as the role of neoconservatives in formulating foreign policy in the Bush administration. We're going to talk with Ray about the process that is behind the production of these national intelligence estimates for the president, and whether or not we can trust the final product as American citizens, given what is happening, what it is happening, and what did happen with the doctoring of U.S. intelligence estimates to support preconceived policies and conclusions leading up to the war with Iraq in, of course, March of 2003. We're going to be speaking with Ray about the whole business of corporate media. Where do we go for reliable information? We'll chat with him a little bit about Andrew Bacevich's post yesterday for the Los Angeles Times discussing George Bush, Vietnam, and Iraq. George, by the way, or Ray, by the way, is a part of the same organization, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, that Philip Giraldi belongs to. Philip, of course, has been on this show before, and he's a correspondent for Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative. There are a series of news stories today that we will not cover directly because Ray McGovern and Hesham Talawi are both with us. Dr. Talawi will join us at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time to talk about his recent trip to Palestine. But among the items that you might want to take a look at this morning in regard to the media, Pat Buchanan has an excellent post at antiwar.com today entitled, "Has Bush Boxed Himself In?" Philip Giraldi has an interesting piece at the same website entitled, "Who's Killing American Soldiers in Iraq?" Paul Gottfried has a post entitled "Forms of Mass Murder," which you can find at lewrockwell.com. Michael Chertoff says that radical ideologies threaten the Internet. Gary North has a post today at lewrockwell.com entitled "The Moral Hazard of Central Banking." Justin Raimondo has a good piece at antiwar.com entitled "Dirge for the Surge." Mark Weber's Institute for Historical Review has a series of new posts at his website. Tom Englehart, up in New York, has a special post on Dilip Hero, who has been a past guest on this show. Dilip Hero is the author of Blood of the Earth and the Iranian Labyrinth, as well as a dictionary on the Middle East, which I now have a copy of, entitled The Essential Middle East. Dilip Hero, going back a number of years, is thought to have written the most authoritative account of the Iran-Iraq war that is available in English. And Dilip today, from Axis of Logic, tells us that he believes that the United States is on the downhill slide as an empire. Chuck Baldwin, Pastor Chuck Baldwin from Pensacola, who was on the show last week, indicates that conservative Republicans have only one choice in 2008, quite obviously, that choice is Ron Paul. So when we talk about some of the sorts of things that we ought to be supporting in the days ahead, quite clearly we're talking about the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're speaking about the American Free Press in Washington, D.C., and also the presidential candidacy of Ron Paul. It's very interesting, isn't it, to look at all of the so-called alternatives that are out there in both of the major parties. Quite clear when we continue to read the actual things that are said by these various candidates that Ron Paul is the only game in town. I think he's saying the right things on the war and the Israeli lobby. He's saying the right things about the Federal Reserve Board and taxation. Across the board, Ron Paul should be our man in 2008. We'll be back with Ray McGovern of the Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. You can find Ray's archive at antiwar.com. Stay tuned to Mark Dankos America coming live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Ray McGovern. For 27 years, from the JFK administration to the administration of George Herbert Walker Bush, Ray McGovern was a member of the Central Intelligence Agency. He was involved at the highest level in preparing the national intelligence estimates for the president. He is now a member of something called the Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, or VIPS. That's the same organization that Philip Giraldi of the American Conservative belongs to. And you can read the Ray McGovern archive at antiwar.com. Just go to antiwar.com and look down the list of contributors, and you will see the Ray McGovern archives. Simply click on it, and you'll see the laundry list of articles that are there, including Ray's latest post entitled "George W. Bush, a CIA Analysis." Ray now joins us from Washington, D.C. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Mark. Good. How are you?
Very good. Listen, Ray, as we start our conversation, the bumper music, of course, will tell us when we're going to commercial breaks, and I'll guide us through that process. But as I think of all the different things that we could ask you about this morning, Quite clearly, you've got a new post with Alternet that talks about the possibility of preemptive war with Iran. Your latest post for antiwar.com on George Bush talks about the fact that, you know, we're looking at a series of issues here that should be of concern to every American. How serious do you think the Bush administration is in the wake of all of the catastrophes that we've seen with this Iraq war since March of 2003? How serious do you think they are about attacking Iran, and what do you think the consequences are going to be if that actually happens?
Well, Mark, the usual retort that we receive when we even bring up the question is that, quote, it would be crazy to attack Iran, period, end quote, as if, you know, that should delay the dialogue to rest. If you look at Iraq, it is not the case that this administration was not warned, and warned profusely by people in the know. And I'm not talking just about VIPs. I'm talking about people like Scott Ritter and others who are crying from the rooftops, there are no weapons of mass destruction, and so forth. And they went ahead and did it anyway. Now, we have actually collaborated on a rather major piece with Dr. Justin Frank, a psychotherapist and psychoanalyst and teacher of such at George Washington University Hospital here in Washington. He wrote, some of you may know, the book called Bush on the Couch. It's a psychological assessment of George W. Bush going back to his very earliest years. We thought that that was a fairly good roundup of what the psyche of the man is, but it's 3 years old. And so we got together with Dr. Frank, and we said, you know, we really need to update that because Bush is in a very, very difficult situation now. He's cornered. Everything is falling apart. And what would that mean in terms of his striking out in what most people would consider to be a crazy way? We had Iran in mind, of course. We had other things like Iraq in mind. For example, let's say one of those, quote, insurgents, end quote, and I use the quotes advisedly because everyone calls them insurgents, but they're really resistance. Let's say that one of their mortars gets lucky, lands right in the middle of our $600 million spanking new embassy, killing a bunch of Americans. What's the president going to do at that point? Well, one has to take into account his psychological makeup and what drives this person and who his advisors are. So, make a long story short, yeah, by normal standards, it would be, quote, crazy, end quote, to start a war with Iran. But with the background I just adduced, plus the fact that you always have these loose-suited generals running around telling the president and everyone else who would listen, we can just bomb and missile these folks with these incredibly precise weapons. None of us will get shot down, and we'll be able to prevent, for the most part, any civilian casualties. We can do it all from the air. It will be painless, and won't everyone be happy, especially our ally Israel? Now, that's the kind of advice LBJ got on Vietnam, and we know how that one came out. Maybe I'm a little prejudiced. I'm an old infantry officer, okay? The infantry always has to go in and mop up. And when you look, you asked about the options open to Iran. When you look at their capabilities, they certainly dwarf anything that, quote, insurgents, end quote, in Iraq or anywhere else would have. They are a nation state with a very viable armed forces. It would be very simple to use one of their several hundred PT boats to knock out the oil heads in the Persian Gulf. They could stir up insurgencies throughout the world in a way that Al-Qaeda has absolutely no capability of doing. In other words, they dwarf Al-Qaeda's capability. And I would worry that the 3 or 4 Revolutionary Guards divisions would pour into Iraq, severing our lines of communication, the ones between Baghdad and Kuwait. And instead of having 52 Americans hostage, the Iranians would end up, in effect, with 52,000 American armed forces hostage. What will the president do then? Well, the suggestion is that he'd use these mini nukes. I mean, after all, he's being advised that these mini nukes are really no different in any way than high explosive weapons. They're just a little bit more powerful and so forth. That would be the only option open to him, and that worries me sick. So, even if there is only an even chance, is the way I would put it, that the president would flail out and start attacking Iran from the air on the advice of Cheney, Elliot Abrams, and the people who still have the president's ear in the White House, even if there's only a 50-50 chance, you know, that's Armageddon. If people are looking forward to Armageddon, well, they're going to get it if that happens.
Well, yes, and a number of things come to mind, Ray. My father, a generation ago, was a director of logistics for the Shah's Imperial Iranian Air Force before the revolution. So I've lived in Iran, and you know, I remember very vividly my own impressions of the Iranian people at that time. With people who know me well, we chat about these things, and I say that with reference to Kenneth Edelman's remarks about a cakewalk war in Iraq before this thing in March of 2003, I say, you know, that was all proven wrong. And based upon my own perceptions of the Iranian people, we're talking about individuals who have a 2,500-year history of successfully dealing with foreign predators and foreign invaders. When I think of that 2,500-year history, and then I contemplate what I've been reading in Dilip Hero's book on the Iran-Iraq War and how successful the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps was in inflicting massive numbers of casualties on the Iraqis for 8 years, and the fact that Mr. Ahmadinejad, the current ruler of Iran, was very much involved with the IRGC at the time of the Iran-Iraq War, I think the very scenario you paint as a specialist is the one that terrifies me as just a layperson and a generalist in the area, and that is that quite clearly the Iranians are a very resilient people. They have a strong conventional military, and based upon the performance of this Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps between 1980 and 1988, there can be no question in my mind that Ahmadinejad has a plan in place, as do his military advisors, to make our lives in Iraq a living hell. And presumably, with all of this talk of American tactical nuclear activity against Iran, the Iranians are putting their own ducks in a row in regard to what their strategy for retaliation might be worldwide. And again, it begs the question, if that's obvious to me as a non-expert in all of this, and if it's obvious to you as a clear expert on the Middle East and as somebody with a CIA background for 27 years, it begs the question as to why it's not so obvious for people like Elliot Abrams and Dick Cheney and certainly George Bush. And this gets us back full circle to the whole question of the psychoanalysis of this with your references to Justin Frank, this fellow at the George Washington University Hospital who wrote the book Bush and the Couch. Are we dealing in the case of Mr. Bush with someone who is fundamentally, frankly, I don't know how else to say this, emotionally and mentally unstable?
Well, Mark, that is the question, and my answer is yes. The real question is to what degree does this impair his judgment? And one answer to that is, well, that doesn't really matter as long as he relies exclusively on the likes of Dick Cheney and Elliot Abrams to tell him what to do. You know, one of the things that needs to be mentioned when we talk about the Iranians is something that I would wager only 10% of the Americans know, but 99% of the Iranians know, and that there's a history to our relationship with Iran. And that is that in 1953, if my math is correct, that's 54 years ago, we overthrew their duly elected prime minister, Mossadegh, and imposed a very cruel regime under the Shah, whose secret police were second to none. really starts there, and I hear the music coming, Mark, so perhaps we
yes.
can pick up.
Yes, we'll
there.
Be back with Ray McGovern, the Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. When we come back, we'll get into 1953 in Iran and what the American CIA and British MI6 did there. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today in the first 2 hours of the show is Ray McGovern of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. You can find Ray's archive at antiwar.com. Just go to antiwar.com, go down the right side of the page, the various contributors. You will see Ray McGovern listed there with a laundry list of articles that pertain to some of the subjects that we're covering this morning. Up to this point in the interview, we've been talking, of course, about Iran, speaking about Mr. Bush. Is this man completely stable? Referencing those observations to Dr. Justin Frank of the George Washington University Hospital and his book of some 3 or 4 years ago entitled Bush on the Couch. We've been starting to get into this whole business of Iran with Ray. going back to 1953. What did the CIA and the British MI6 do in Iran in 1953? The American Free Press of Washington, D.C., of course, has a book out on that subject that contains within its pages a lot of the original intelligence documents of the period. Christopher Petherick has put this thing together at AFP. You can reach them at 1-888-699-NEWS. You can see online my review of that book at my blog for Mark Dankoff's America in Al Bawaba, at Al Bawaba in Amman, Jordan. We get back to our conversation with Ray McGovern here. Ray, among the many things that have been coming out in recent times about what we did in 1953, I read something in the American Free Press a couple of issues ago that was just absolutely shocking. An investigative reporter by the name of Pat Shannon, who has been doing some work with AFP, indicates that he had had some conversations with a retired United States Air Force general by the name of Russell Bowen, B-O-W-E-N. At the time that Shannon was talking with Bowen about these things, the general was living in retirement in Winter Haven, Florida. I understand now from reading Shannon's article that General Bowen and his wife may be in exile, in hiding somewhere in South America. But according to Pat Shannon, General Russell Bowen made the statement that in 1953, he, General Bowen, was one of a group of people personally leading assassination teams in Iran that were being used to eradicate people that were in opposition to what the CIA and the British MI6 were doing there. These were individuals with connections to Prime Minister Mossadegh, and according to General Russell Bowen, he and the other people in these assassination teams, under the direction of Norman Schwarzkopf Sr., Norman Schwarzkopf Sr., the father of the famous general from the Gulf War, were killing people. In other words, according to Bowen, he was getting direct orders from Norman Schwarzkopf Sr., to run these assassination teams that were getting rid of people in Iran who were not in support of the movement away from Mossadegh and toward the Shah. Now, without saying that I know for absolute 100% certainty that these reports are true, in conjunction with other things that have come out, they seem to be quite credible reports. I was horrified by this. It's worse than anything I had read up to this point in regard to what we did in 1953. But this, again, would appear to be the context in which we need to understand the level of mistrust toward us coming from Tehran.
Yeah, Mark, I'm tempted to try to make light of this by saying I'm shocked. I'm just totally shocked.
Yes.
But I'm not. Here we have sort of the first installment of the Escuadrones de Muerte, these death squads that we employed together with the rightist El Salvador government there in the 80s, the death squads.
Yes.
You know, Mossadegh, it must be said, made this terrible mistake of thinking that the oil under the sands of Iran belonged to the Iranian people. Can you imagine? He thought...
Fatal error.
Well, you know, it was well known that the British and the Americans owned that oil, and so he, very gutsy guy that he was, and a very well-educated person, nationalized, I can imagine, nationalized Iranian oil. And, of course, in those days, we're talking early 50s, that was frowned upon by Washington and Britain. Now, we can't let Britain off the hook here because MI6 was pretty much the driving force behind this, and it was MI6 as much as Alan Dulles that persuaded Eisenhower this might be a good idea. So, you know, it really is pretty awful how crass this whole thing was and how they were able to use such tactics as you just described. Plus, you know, mounting public demonstrations in Tehran to overthrow a legally established government. Now, it's hard to keep your sense of humor as you think about these things. But you know, if some of the old poets could, I'll give you this one from somebody who knew something about that area. It's a short one. It is not wise for the Christian white to hustle the Asian brown. For the Christian riles, but the Asian smiles, and he weareth the Christian down. At the end of the fight lies a tombstone white with the name of the late deceased, and the epitaph drear, a fool lies here, tried to hustle the East. Rudyard Kipling, and no one knew better than he. So what
we'll
we're trying
back.
To do here is just take over the national resources that have driven.
Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091.
Voice America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Ray McGovern joins us for the first 2 hours of the show today. Ray is with Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, or VIPS. That same organization is one that Philip Giraldi of Pat Buchanan's American Conservative belongs to. You can find the Ray McGovern archives at antiwar.com. And, of course, Ray's got a new piece for Alternet entitled, "Are Bush and Company Gearing Up to Attack Iran?" That is a must-read from Ray McGovern at Alternet. And before the commercial break, Ray was reading to us a Rudyard Kipling poem. And Ray, as I was trying to follow the poem, I am not noted for my perceptions of poetry, although I did try to read Omar Khayyam a few years ago. But it sounds to me like one of the things that Kipling is talking about in that poem is the notion of racism, dealing with the Christian white on the one hand, as he puts it in the poem, and then those with brown skin on the other. Are we dealing with a situation here, and I know that this is very sensitive material, but for example, in the case of both British and American foreign policy with Iran, and multiply that times many other places and many other scenarios, many other particular junctures in history, are we talking about a circumstance where there has been a latent and ultimately a manifest racism that has been involved in some of these situations that the American and British intelligence communities have been involved with? Is this truly where we are when we start talking about this whole business of an interventionist foreign policy for natural resources?
Well, Mark, I think that I can offer you my opinion on that for what it's worth. And I would just pose the question this way. Would it be as easy for Bush, Cheney, that whole group, to drum up support for a war on a country like Iraq if they looked exactly like us? Okay?
Yes.
If we couldn't call them towel heads or sand niggers, which is what our troops have been trained to call the Iraqi people to demonize them. You know, if we couldn't call them gooks, like those of us who have a trace of gray in our hair, or more than a trace, we'll remember we called the Vietnamese nationalists who are fighting for their independence. I believe that it's a major factor. I believe it's a major factor. And if you look at the whole history of British colonialism, it enabled the British far longer than by any right they should have been able to do, to work their will among people who look a little or a lot different from the way we do. Mark, I think you're onto something very, very important.
Yeah, I think so too, Ray. And, you know, to me, as I observed this, remembering when I was a young person in Iran, my dad had been a logistics director for Nixon's air war over North Vietnam before he retired from the Air Force in 1973. And then that fall, my father was in Iran working for the Lockheed Company as a director of logistics for the Shah's Imperial Iranian Air Force. And I remember when I would visit my parents every summer in the years that my dad was over there, I'd be away from college, I'd come over there. I was playing fast pitch softball for an Air Force team in those days and traveling around Iran and teaching English for the Imperial Iranian Air Force and having generally a good time while I was trying to learn something at the same time. And I perceived a lot of these attitudes there in Iran on the part of many of the American forces that were present, and would hear a lot of disturbing references, a lot of disturbing language directed at the locals. And this led me on a search that I continue to be on in regard to understanding the deeper implications of all of this. One of the deeper implications for me, Ray, is that whether we're talking about Iran or we're speaking of Palestine, speaking of the Islamic world generally, my feeling is that this brand of latent and in some cases manifest racism has led us to a complete underestimation of the character and strength and capabilities of the folks on the other side, just as you indicate that it did in Southeast Asia. Are we not dealing with a circumstance here where there is a racism that underlies a certain arrogance of empire, and that arrogant empires tend to underestimate people that they believe that they are more powerful than?
Well, I think that's right. It's really more a symptom than a cause, though, as I see it. If you look at who profits, you know, the old detective who says, cui bono, for whose advantage does all this happen? I had an unnerving experience over lunch just about 3 weeks ago. A very well-regarded congressman, when I asked about how to explain a lot of what's going on in the world, he looked at me and said, Ray, stop what you're doing. I put down my knife and fork. He looked me in the eye and he said, Ray, you've heard of the military-industrial complex, have you? And I was taken aback. I said, of course I have. He says, well, it's real, Ray. Are you listening? It's real. Now, what would a 30-year veteran congressman mean by that? I mean, he's talking to somebody that kind of knows something about something, but he wants to brace me with the fact that therein lies the explanation for a lot of this. And when you look, for example, just over the last couple of weeks, $30 billion in armaments for the state of Israel over the next 10 years, a 25% increase over what we're giving them now. Almost as much to a combination of Saudis and Egyptians and so forth. Now, who's benefiting from all that? Well, I just offer you the observations of this congressman. Now, how do you enable people who, you know, are smart enough to normally realize which end is up? How do you enable the corruption of such people and the willingness to destroy others? Well, you demonize them, and one of the ways you demonize them, of course, is by making them subhuman. And if they look a little bit different from you, well, you know, you're really well on to being able to do that. And that, yeah, sure, that's imperialism, and it all stems from greed and the need for the U.S. to have a disproportionate share of the Earth's resources. And oil, of course, is at the center of Iraq and Iran, and in many senses, one can look at the war in Iraq and, God forbid, the coming war with Iran as the first wars, not of the 21st century, but the first resource wars of the 21st century, because the biggest factoid out there, Mark, is that we are running out of oil. That is, we collectively, the world is running out of oil. It's our non-renewable source. Americans ought to know that. And that people will be fighting over the disposition of this, unless, and I'll just close with this, you know, unless we go back to kindergarten. Do you remember what we all learned in kindergarten? That you have to share things, okay? If you don't share things, it's bedlam, okay? And the U.S. is not very good at that, and the British still worse. We have to get our heads screwed on correctly and realize that this is a finite source, that oil is running out already. We've already reached peak oil, the point at which demand keeps zooming and the availability of oil resources stays flat or even recedes. That's an important point. And unless we step back, unless we listen to religious leaders who are not sort of egocentric, American-centric, you know, talk about things as such as, you know, the mark of the beast and all this nonsense. Unless we have religious leaders that go back to the Judeo-Christian tradition, the bona fide one, in which, in my view, Yahweh of the Hebrew Scriptures and Jesus of the New care about just one thing, Mark, and that is that we do justice. And if we don't have a head for that, if we don't have the guts for that, if we're too selfish for that, we're going to have perpetual war.
Well, yes, and as I try to analyze what's going on in the Middle East, Ray, you've identified some of the fundamental constituencies that I think are behind this catastrophe that we're in the middle of. We can speak about the oil consortiums and the battle for world natural resources. I'm thinking about Dilip Hero's book in that regard, Blood of the Earth, The Battle for the World's Vanishing Oil Resources. That's a Nation Books publication. It's certainly informed my thinking on the subject. Then, as you've pointed out, we can deal with the armaments industry. Such entities as Lockheed Martin and Halliburton come immediately to mind. Bechtel comes to mind in regard to the various things that we've promoted in the Middle East, including this latest $30 billion arms sale to Israel. And then there's that third element in this triad, which would seem to be the Israeli lobby itself, the so-called Likudnik wing of the Israeli political spectrum, that frankly, in my judgment, seems to have a very strong alliance going with the Jewish neoconservatives in the United States, who've had an awful lot of impact upon our news media and our foreign policy. Now, when I look at this last element, there's another dimension of this that becomes interesting, and this is where theology enters the process, of course. The Israeli lobby's alliance with the so-called Christian right, that element on the Christian right, very strong element, which has a so-called dispensationalist understanding of prophecy, those things that in this view must occur before the second coming of Jesus Christ. In that regard, it seems to me that the Israeli lobby and those folks like John Hagee of Cornerstone Church here in San Antonio, who promotes this dispensationalist view of prophecy, they have attempted, I think, very successfully in some circles to give a religious theocratic aura to the foreign policy of the United States. When I look at that, I become very, very queasy with this, not simply as an American citizen, but as an Orthodox Lutheran pastor, I become queasy with it, because I happen, of course, to believe individually that this is not the correct view of prophecy, properly understood, but that's another issue for another day. But just this idea of taking what seems to me to be a foreign policy rooted in some fairly sinful agendas, and then to say that those agendas are enshrouded with something that is of God, and that God has mandated, and that God has instructed us, commanded us to support, is this not going a long way toward explaining why so many people continue to believe that supporting Bush and Cheney is tantamount to supporting God?
You know, Mark, these are very current and deep questions. I'm thinking of my concept of God, at least, and how lucky we all are that she has such a great sense of humor and such patience with us, you know?
Yes.
I mean, how we twist things, I mean, and how we do this to the obvious advantage of those who would want to have more than their share of the Earth's resources or even of other countries. It's utterly cynical on the part of the right-wing Likudniks, the right-wing Israeli government. And I hasten to stress here that I'm talking about one extremist wing of the Israeli populace. It's sort of like the one that's reigning here in our country. It's not representative of the Israeli people in toto. But when I think of how they look, you know, sit back and look at all this with Hagee and others, and you know, Hagee's and the others are saying, well, you know, too bad about you Jews, you know, you're not going to make it for the
rapture?
Yeah, the rapture. You know, you're not going to make it, but thanks for helping us along the line here. Too bad about you. How cynical that is, and the Israelis sit back and they think we believe this stuff, you know? So they use it for very practical purposes, and, you know, sometimes, again, you need to keep your sense of humor. And I love that bumper sticker I saw yesterday, which says, after the surge, may I have your car?
Well, yeah, exactly. And I look at this stuff, and I'm thinking, okay, theologically, in my own understanding of the message of Jesus Christ, which I emphasize is not inerrant, and that is subject to correction by those who know something about theology. But in my own understanding of the proclamation of Jesus Christ, fundamentally we're talking about the doctrines of forgiveness of sin, reconciliation with God, and on the basis of that experience, then bringing a message of love and reconciliation to the rest of humanity. If that is the core understanding of the New Testament gospel that we're supposed to have, this seems to be a complete contrast with the message that I get from John Hagee of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio and the Christians United for Israel organization that he heads up, and the message, of course, that's supported by a lot of the folks on the Christian right, and that is this notion that we are duty-bound to be instruments of God in hastening Armageddon.
Yeah, it's quite amazing, isn't it? You know, when you look at this Jesus of Nazareth, you know, when he made his inaugural speech, what was it he said? You know, what he said was, "The Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom for prisoners, and to proclaim a year of God's blessing, of Jubilee. It had to do with reaching out to the less advantaged. It had to do with concern for the poor, and above all, for justice, and how that message has been sort of, well, what shall I say, prostituted on the altar of other interests is really, really quite amazing. Let me get a little bit into what I just experienced, Mark. I just came back from the Middle East. I spent 2 weeks, I'm not sure I told you this, but I spent 2 weeks there with a delegation from Interfaith Peace Builders, sort of an offshoot from the Fellowship for Reconciliation, and they've been sending delegations like the one I joined 3 times a year for many years. We spent 2 weeks not only in Israel, of course, but on the West Bank in Ramallah, up there at the Golan. We stayed in East Jerusalem, and so I was able to observe firsthand what's going on there. We talked to a settler, actually a rabbi settler, one of the settlers for your audience, or the folks from New York and New Jersey and wherever else who are persuaded to come to Israel to settle on occupied Palestinian territory. Again, a little background. Most people don't know that in 1948, 750,000, I repeat, 750,000 Palestinians were driven from their homes, and in 1967, the occupied territories were occupied by the State of Israel.
When we come back with Ray McGovern, we'll pursue things from that point onward. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined in the first 2 hours of the show today by Ray McGovern, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. You can find Ray's archive at antiwar.com. Stay tuned.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust attack. unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest in the first 2 hours of today's show is Ray McGovern with Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, or VIPS. You can find Ray's archive at antiwar.com. Just go to antiwar.com, look at the right-hand side of the page, and you'll see Ray McGovern listed there as one of the contributors. Simply click on Ray McGovern. That'll take you to his laundry list of articles. Hesham Talawi will join me in the last hour of the show, 9 a.m. Central to 10 a.m. Central, to talk about his most recent visit to Palestine. And, of course, I wanted to warn Ray McGovern as well as the listeners that this is that point in the show toward the end of every hour when we have a couple of commercial announcements, and then we'll get back to a more extended conversation with Ray at the top of the hour. This is your opportunity, folks, to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. You can reach us on the net, of course, at www.republicbroadcasting.org. That's www.republicbroadcasting.org. We need your help. We need it ongoingly. We need it now. We pray that in the coming year that you will support the Republic Broadcasting Network to the extent that your resources make that possible. I'd also like to recommend course number two to you, and that is that you support the American Free Press up in Washington, D.C. Christopher Petherick has put together a very fine team of correspondents there that includes Mark Glenn, Michael Collins Piper, Willis Carto, Paul Craig Roberts, Mark Anderson, Charlie Reese. All of those folks come to you and to me week after week in the American Free Press. You can reach them at 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. And one of the things about AFP is their book division. And one of the books that we've already talked about this morning with Ray McGovern is the American Free Press's offering on Iran, the CIA in Iran. What are the root causes of the American-Iranian divide here in 2007? We have to go back to 1953 to understand some of that. And in America, the American Free Press's book on Iran, they have within those pages some of the original intelligence documents that were generated at the time by both the CIA and the British MI6 that go a long way toward explaining what we were doing there in that country at that time and why, and what the blowback and the consequences have been ever since. So call the American Free Press at 1-888-699-NEWS. With your gifts, or to request a subscription, or to buy a book. That then leads me to the third thing I'd like to ask you to consider this morning, and that is to support the presidential candidacy of Ron Paul. Folks, I think he's the only game in town. I'm an ex-Republican, and of course have run as a third-party candidate for the U.S. Senate with the Constitution Party in Delaware in 2000. I know something about what is involved in running this sort of an insurgency campaign. He needs our resources, he needs our help, he needs it now. So if you would go to Ron Paul 2008 and make your contribution today, we can keep not only Ron Paul in the race, we can keep these constitutional ideas in the race and before the American public for as long a period of time.